Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to your grandma's favorite podcast. It's the Pens and Stuff podcast. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Abby.
And we are sans Jim today because he had conflicts with his wife. So, they're not conflicting.
No.
He planned something and couldn't get out of it. So.
Right. Christmas shopping and all that. So,
yeah, it's
we understand. It's a forgiving time of year.
Yes, I realized that by saying he has conflicts with his wife. It sounds like they're having marital issues. They are not.
No, there's a scheduling conflict due to his wife, but it's fine.
Yes, that's better. Well, and we apologize that we have not recorded in 3 weeks, it's been 3 weeks since we recorded because of Thanksgiving. We took the week off, and then last week I had a funeral I had to attend, and Abby left her podcasting stuff
My house. And I was gone for the weekend, and I was like, well, that kind of sucks, because I had planned to bring it all with me, and it was all in the bag, and I left it right on the floor, right by the door. So it was awesome, but it's fine.
But we are back. Not quite full force, but we're back.
Full enough.
The The podcast is producing about as well as the Penguins' power play at the moment.
More or less.
So in the last 3 weeks... since we have recorded, which we last recorded, we released an episode on the 18th. The Penguins have gone 3-6-3, totaling a total of, quick maths, 12 points?
Hang on.
No, was 9 points, excuse me. And did I do that
what
wrong?
What other game did we lose in overtime?
We lost the Nashville game on the 28th and the two Flyers games this last week, Saturday and Monday.
I forgot that one was an OTL. My bad.
Yeah. Yep. So we got a total of 9 points out of a possible. I'm not good at quick math, so I don't know.
Out of a possible, a lot more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. All that to say.
I.e., the Penguins have not been doing great.
No. And the main reason we can point numbers at point fingers at a number of places, and but the main thing that we have to call out is the power play.
Yes,
the power play has been abysmal this year.
It's so funny because that was the one thing everyone was hyping up about. It's like, oh my gosh, and I was super excited about it too. Like, we're gonna have such a good power play because you got Sid, you got Gina, you got Jake, you got Letang, and now you've got Carlson, and we have no excuses for not doing well on the power play. No excuses.
No.
And in the few games that I've watched over the past couple weeks, we're just not connecting on anything. Like, passing is terrible. Like, those breakout plays, they're just not connecting. Like, outlet passes are turning into turnovers, and like, everything we try to do, it's not working. And that, I feel like, isn't entirely our fault. I mean, the players' fault. But, like, also, you have some of the best players in the league. Like, you should be, at least on the power play, scoring more than 9.9% of the time.
Yeah. That's, plain and simple, is the issue. Like, you have so many guys on the team that they're all, oh, no, you go. That's what I've seen. is we do get set up in the offensive zone, which is fairly little time. We don't shoot the puck. It's the pass, the pass, the pass, which they've had issues before in the past. Like last year, they had issues with that, but at least they scored more than they are now. We have 7 power play goals in 25 games.
Mike Rupp has been doing the TV broadcast for the color commentating with Josh Getzoff. Mm-hmm. He had it the other night. He's like, just shoot the puck. I like how honest he is. Like, I loved Bob Airy, but Mike Rupp is very, very good as well. And he was just like telling it how it is. He's like, if you do not shoot the puck on the power play, you will not score. And he's like, this team is so past first that you are never going to score because you are never taking a dang shot. And he's like, you have some of the best players in Carlson, Letang, Crosby, Malkin, and they keep looking for this pretty play when you just, at this point, with the way things are going, you just need to get pucks on net.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating.
And I saw on Twitter, I can't remember who said it, and I 100% agree with them. I may actually have, well, it's not Twitter anymore. Sorry. It's
X.
X, yeah. It's Kelsey Cermax. It's just some random person on Twitter. I don't know. I follow her. And she's a Penguins fan. But she was saying, and I 100% agree, and I've said the same things, okay, that Mike Sullivan might not even make it out of Florida as the coach of this team. If we lose tonight to Florida, she was saying that the Tampa game, which I did not get to watch, was awful.
Oh, it was awful.
The team looked
disoriented,
in shambles.
I turned it off after Tampa scored their third goal because I was just like, this is ridiculous. We couldn't maintain any sort of offensive possession. We weren't taking shots. We weren't generating any sort of chances. The only players that looked any good were that third line with Zahorna and Eller and Nylander, I think, was on that third line too.
Carter wouldn't have been?
No, Carter was on the fourth line with Kapanen
okay.
and the other new guy.
Sorry.
Harkins.
Yeah, anyways, Harkins.
Because Nieto and Achari have been dead. So, anyways, it was just insane. There are so many. I was writing yesterday an article, a game preview for tonight's game, Pittsburgh's game against the Panthers tonight. And I was like, if we keep losing games, each game from now on is going to be gaining more importance. And if we can't win games, then, I mean, the whole point of playing is to win.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not finding ways to win. It doesn't even look like we're trying to win.
No.
It's just so frustrating. And there are so many problems with the team. Like, you could point to any facet of our game and say that needs improvement, except for maybe the penalty kill.
I think the defense has been playing remarkably well.
And with the goaltending's been...
Jari has been playing out of his mind.
Yeah. But, I mean, just... Our skating needs to be better. Passing needs to be better. Scoring chances need to be better. Offensive zone possession needs to be better. Defensive, eliminating chances and eliminating like significant offensive zone possession. Like it happens all the time. It's this team. I think it's mainly the forward group that is frustrating me.
Yes.
I don't get frustrated nearly as much with the defense. I don't get frustrated with the goaltending. When you watch it, it's forwards playing lackadaisical in the defensive zone and not rushing to get the puck up ice and to generate chances. And it's just frustrating. But I think it's mainly just because our team is so old. Our team is just so old.
Yeah,
and I don't know if there's anything that you can really do with it. You know what I mean?
Okay, but I look at the roster as normally constructed when everyone's healthy, right? That third line, Zahorna, O'Connor, and Lars Eller, is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They play a great two-way game.
They're the best line on our team right now.
They're the best line on our team, both defensively and offensively combined.
All around, like, with chances produced. Yeah. And, like, they're not necessarily scoring a whole lot, but they're getting way more chances than the Crosby and Malkin lines.
Yeah, that fourth line does what it needs to do. They play hard, gritty hockey, get offensive zone time. And if they're in the defensive zone, the other teams hardly score.
Right.
At least when it's constructed of Eller, not Eller, sorry.
Achari, Nieto, and Carter.
Achari, Nieto, and Carter. Or no, not Carter. Who's been playing on that fourth line? Oh,
are you talking about Hinostroza?
Hinostroza needs to play over Carter.
He got sent back down, though. I don't know. Because he's not injured.
Someone might
but
be coming
he
back
hasn't,
from.
He
someone
hasn't
might be
been
coming
playing,
back from injury.
Because there's. Harkins got called up. Harkins has been playing over Hinostroza. Yep. And Kapanen is a new kid who's been playing over. They keep saying Kapanen on the live stream or on the TV broadcast. That's what I'm trying to say. And they say Kapanen. Yeah. And I'm like, Kapanen? Who? Kapanen? It's not Kapanen. It's Kapanen.
Yeah. And then, anyways. Honestly, I really like that second line too. I like our lines. I like Smith has been an awesome addition. Once he figures out,
Smith has been starting on the first line some too.
Yeah, once he figures out how to get that puck in the net again, we'll be set. You know,
one big loss I feel is the fact that Rickard Rakell is injured and he hadn't scored at all before he went out. But like, if he hit his stride, I think he would be like a super impact player because he does. Like, he's not a gritty player. That's not how I would define his game. But he's willing to get in there and to fight for pucks and stuff. And I think more so than Jake or like, I don't know, or what Riley Smith seems to be. I think Carter or Rakell and Riley Smith are kind of on the same plane in that, like, they can play pretty much anywhere. But I don't know. I don't know what this team needs right now, to be honest with you.
Abby, all it is, honestly, to me, if this power play would start scoring at least once a game when we get the opportunities, we would be winning a majority of these games that we're losing. That Flyers game,
I mean,
on Saturday,
that's true.
That we
They've
lost
been
in overtime. We had chances on the power play and we could not score. I think that is the biggest issue with this team. Jari has been playing out of his mind. The only reason we were in that Tampa Bay game that we won was because of Jari. In that first period, he made 10 bell saves that you could look back and like, if he lets that one in, we do not win that game.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Five of our seven losses have been one goal games. So, you know, if you could score on the power play,
we'd at least go to overtime. That is one of the biggest issues. And every time it comes on, I'm like, let's hope we don't give up a shorthanded goal instead
of,
I hope
power
this
play
is where
is
we
more,
go ahead.
It's more of a liability than anything. The other night in Philly, I was like, I literally almost tweeted it. And then I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. But I was like, Philly should be purposefully committing penalties at this point because they've had more quality chances on our power play than we have.
Yeah. That's what Jim said. That's what Dad said about that shootout loss that we had. Torts, one of his guys went down in the corner to go get the puck and slipped and ran into the boards. We had a 3-on-2 the other way. He sent another guy out. They got called for an illegal change. And Dad was like, well, the way our power play has been going,
he
why
did
not
it on
stop
purpose.
The 2-on-3 and give up.
Yeah.
Try and get on the power play. Give the power play to the Penguins so the Flyers
because
could have a better
shot. Because the Penguins
shot.
Play so sloppy on the dang power play.
It's awful.
This has just become a berate the Penguins session. But the way they're playing right now, I don't have any nice things to say. Except that Tristan Jarry is a legend. Scored his goalie goal.
Has been earning this contract.
November 30th.
There you go,
He scored his goalie goal. Locked
the first goalie goal
in. That's
in NHL
worth
history.
$5 million in my book, so... I don't know.
The first goalie goal in not NHL history, Penguins history.
Yes, in Penguins history. I did know that. I was on Instagram the other day. I wanted to mention this. And I saw a video of Brooks Orpik. He laid... It was in... I think it was in... It was definitely in the playoffs. I think it was in the Stanley Cup final.
It was in the Stanley Cup final against Detroit.
Against Detroit. Yeah. And he laid 5 hits in the span of a minute. And I was like, dang, that's the kind of player that Pittsburgh doesn't have right now. And that we really, really need one player to step up and do that, which I think might be John Ludvig. Have you seen him play?
Yes.
He dropped the gloves with, I don't remember who it was. Mick. Oh, I don't remember. I think it was against Nashville.
What game
he dropped
was it?
The gloves. I think it was Nashville. I think it was McMahon, maybe. But he, this guy was like 6'7" that he dropped the gloves with, and he fought him. He lost. But the fact that he was willing to drop the gloves with this guy, I don't even remember why. I think he hit someone or whatever, and he, that was just a nasty
Michael
game.
Michael McCarron.
There were
Michael McCarron.
I knew it was Mick something. McCarron, yeah. And but John Ludvig has been like the only guy on the ice willing to take, to make a hit like that consistently. You know what I mean? You need
Zahorna,
that gritty guy.
Zahorna will too. But I think,
but the, not consistently.
No.
Like players don't know, like certain players just like make you nervous when you're on the ice with them, i.e. Tom Wilson or Ryan Reeves. You're
Ryan
like
Reeves.
You're keeping your head up and like making sure that they're not anywhere around you when you have the puck. And I think the Penguins really need someone like that, because they've just, I don't know. Because physicality has been lacking in their game so much too. But I think they just need to find their identity, because I think they're like riding the line on so many things. Like they're almost a good power play team, but they're not. They're almost a really physical team, but they're not. You know, they're almost whatever. They're like so close, but they're not. They just need to find what their identity is.
I think the lack of identity with a lot of the younger players, at least, comes because they're with Crosby and Malkin and they want to score.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be what Crosby, but they don't need to be. We have plenty of scorers.
Right.
What they need to be is who they are. We brought you in for a reason.
Right.
Like, that's why Achari and Nieto were so important to this team. They were young-ish enough that they're not falling off.
Mm-hmm.
But they know who they are. They know what their game is. They know that they're fourth-line grinders.
Know their role, yeah.
Third-line grinders if we need to be. Eller knows his role. He knows that he's supposed to take face-offs and play a two-way game. That's what he is.
Really,
put up
a really solid
goals a two-way season.
Game. Mm-hmm.
20 goals, maybe.
Well, I think the problem, too, is that I don't think this team's identity can be a goal-scoring. They can't be a pure goal-scoring team. Like they've been in the past. Because Gino and Sid and even Jake, they're just not there right now. Like, they're getting older. Letang is older. Carlson, they're old. So, like, you can't rely solely on those guys' talent. You have, like, all of you guys need to be playing a solid two-way game. And that's not what I've been seeing.
Yeah.
Also, their decision-making
not.
Has just been terrible. So many turnovers. Ugh.
Yeah. It's bad.
It's almost painful to watch.
Yeah. And that being said, I know we in Pittsburgh don't like firing coaches. We don't like mid-season changes if we fire someone. But I keep going back. When we won the Cup in 09, there was a coach firing mid-season.
Was there actually mid-season?
The coach came in. We won the Cup.
Okay.
When we won the Cups in 16 and 17, coach firing mid-season. Sullivan comes up. We win 2 Cups. I keep thinking, and I love Mike. I do. I think he's an awesome coach. But sometimes a change of voice in the locker room is what you need.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened with Craig Berube in St. Louis.
That is true. A question, though. I'm not saying no. Who replaces Sully if he gets fired?
Todd DeLucci.
Oh, you think it stays within the system?
Yeah. Yeah, you just bring up a coach.
Do you think that makes it?
You could go out and hire someone on the market, but I don't know who the...
Do you think that makes a difference? Like, it's still a voice that people have always heard.
It doesn't matter, because the guys in the locker room are like, oh crap, none of us are safe. If Sully can get the axe, all of us can be traded or axed eventually.
Okay,
maybe not Mike Sullivan, maybe Todd Rundgren goes, because the man is in charge of the power play and the power play blows.
That is true.
It sucks.
Too. Yeah, he's not been doing a great job, not gonna lie.
No. So there's gotta be a change. You can't just rinse and repeat every time.
No. Something's gotta give. This team that I'm seeing is not even a playoff contender.
No.
I mean, you're sitting seventh in the Metro. There's no way. And Carlson was your last big thing to push you to the playoffs to win another cup with Sid Gino Tanger.
And okay, Letang and Carlson together, one of the best defensive cores in the league. Those two guys, best defensive line in the league. Someone shared advanced analytics.
They've hardly been on the ice together though. They don't hardly ever play them together unless it's probably like right after a penalty kill. But even then, Tanger's a penalty killer. One, they're both right-handed, so I would not suggest doing that. Also, neither of them are super defensively responsible. This was what I was saying at the beginning of the year. I don't think they're worth the liability that they bring. If you have – they've been putting them both on the first power play, which hasn't really changed anything. I think they were hoping it would, but it didn't change anything. And I'm sure they're awesome together, but I think they're way too big of a defensive liability when our forwards are also – not very defensive. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I disagree. I think
agree to disagree.
Also, we need something, and maybe that's the something. Not that our defense is an issue, but
no.
I don't know. Jari's been playing really well.
You know how many?
Like, you could give up a couple just to get the offense going for a little bit.
I guess, but. Also, you know how Patrick Laine was healthy scratched, you know? And apparently Philly healthy scratched Couturier the other night. And
yeah,
it's a new thing in the league, I guess. Coaches healthy scratching players that aren't doing well. Maybe that's what you do. Maybe you healthy scratch, I don't know, one of your top six guys. I don't know who. You don't healthy scratch Malkin or
Gensel.
I don't know.
Yeah, that works well with maybe younger stars. That does not go over well.
No,
with
I know. You don't do that to the veterans. Definitely not. But like, and Rusty's injured right now. Raquel's out. Like, Smith
I don't
is
think
older.
This
Penguins like,
team can,
I don't
can
think we'd be able
to healthy scratch guys.
But I'm just saying that's been a trend in the league right now, too. So I don't know. Because something. Just do something. Show me that you care and that you're trying. Because right
like
now it just feels
of,
like
it's the meme with Patrick and the Rock. Go ahead, do something.
Yeah,
with the
exactly.
Stick pointing the, that's how do I feel something. With the team. But yes. There's our 20-minute lament on.
Has it been 20 minutes for real?
The Penguins. I mean, pretty darn close. I think.
I'm so sorry, y'all.
Hey,
I will say. I will say we shut out Vegas. That was huge.
That was
Alex Nedeljkovic in net. So that was ginormous. So yeah,
there were good things this season
were.
And
but December has not been looking good. That's all I have to say. We did get 2 points though. I mean, if we're gonna lose, might as well lose in overtime. But right now we're sitting at 500.
Okay,
which is.
In that overtime game, I think it was the Nashville one. Ryan O'Reilly literally running into Crosby and knocking over our other guy to.
Everyone was saying that that was interference, but it definitely to me it looked like Crosby initiated contact. It really looked like Crosby initiated contact.
Huh.
O'Reilly was just trying to stay onside, and Crosby was coming in. It looked like he clipped himself. Because he skated right into O'Reilly. To me, I would not have called that interference. Like,
yeah,
I wanted to
but,
because I'm a Pens fan. But it did not look like interference to me.
Okay, well, I thought it was interference. I didn't see what you saw. But
That's just my opinion. And I always like to go against the grain a little bit sometimes. But like, even in this case, like, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that that wasn't interference. Everyone was saying, oh, that's such a bad call, ref. I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah,
but
okay. Well, I did
that's
not see what
just
you saw,
me.
but
Yeah, I watched that game live. I watched that one. I've
as
been
did I.
so I've been getting For the listeners, I and now live with my grandma. And so I've been getting her to watch hockey. And so she's been watching it with me. She's been asking questions like, now what, yada, yada. And last night we were watching the Dallas game, Dallas, Washington. And it was Matt Duchene's 1,000th game. And I was like, grandma, this guy right here, he's played 1,000 games tonight. And she was like, ooh, he's kind of good looking. Is he married? And I'm like, yes, grandma, he's married.
Oh, my
But
goodness, grandma.
anyways, she's hilarious, but she's getting into hockey, which I'm very happy about. But so we've been watching a lot of hockey lately.
That's
not
good.
a lot of not as much Penguins hockey because it makes me sad. We'll watch the first period and a half probably and then turn it off.
And then by the time they're down 7-0, you're like, okay, it's done.
Yeah, it's time. But anyways, a little peek into my life. It's been fun.
Yeah.
But
so,
anyway,
all that to say, the Penguins are not dead yet.
Not yet, but
not
if they
by
don't,
a long shot. It's a long season.
Yeah, it is a long
and
season, but we're I don't know if we can't string
what
together some wins if we can't string together some wins in December, we are very very we'll be very lucky if we're even sniffing the playoffs, in my opinion.
Well, let's see let's talk about that. So the Penguins are 12 points out of first place. That's not that far out.
But it's also
From third
looking
place,
like
they're only 4 places out of third place, which is an instant finals or instant playoff appearance.
Right now, though, too, I'm thinking both wild cards are coming from the Atlantic because the Atlantic is very good this year.
That would
In my
be
opinion.
correct. Well, no. Right now, Carolina holds the second wild card spot because of they have two games in
percentage.
hand on the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Right. But at the when it's all said and done, I do think both wild cards are coming out of the Atlantic. The Atlantic
That
is just
is
way more competitive.
Very possible.
But the fact that Philly's in second right now.
I was just gonna say my preseason predictions are totally blown away by Philadelphia being decent.
Oh, Nashville's in the wild card in the West. I didn't realize that.
Oh, I think someone said that Nashville was gonna make the playoffs. You guys,
Edmonton's rising too.
Lamented the funeral. Also, who called the Arizona Coyotes?
Honestly, they're doing pretty solid this year.
Arizona Coyotes.
I don't
Hats
think they'll
off
make the
to you
playoffs in
guys.
The end of it, but they're doing pretty well. Right
So.
now, both wild cards are from the Central, which is surprising because the Central's kind of lopsided.
Yeah, the young players are finally stepping up for them. But we did prove the curse of Andrew wrong because the Canucks are still doing very well.
Did you switch back to the Canucks? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I went from the Canucks last year to Seattle this year, back to the Canucks now.
Yeah, and Seattle still sucks. So.
Seattle still stinks. Yeah, they're not doing the
hottest.
It's
okay.
It's goaltending for Seattle. Seattle. It's goaltending. But, I mean, you look at
Yeah.
the Metro, right? And the Rangers and the Philadelphias have a positive goal differential. And then the only other team that has a positive goal differential is the Penguins.
Thanks to that 10 whatever victory against Vancouver or San Jose, sorry.
San Jose. I don't know if that's just it, though, because we have our losses, like you said, have all been pretty close one score games.
Yeah, that's true.
So when we're beating teams pretty handily. But when we're losing, it's, you know, 2-1,
Close.
3-1
It's close.
Overtime losses. Well,
Yeah,
three to
that
one's
is
obviously
true.
Not in overtime. Because look at 12, 2-0 against the Ducks, 5-3 win against the Blue Jackets, and then you got the 5-2 loss, 4-2 loss to Carolina and the Devils. But then 3-0 against Vegas, 1-0 loss against the Rangers, 3-2 to loss to Buffalo, 3-2 win to Toronto, 3-2 loss to Smashville, 4-2 win over Tampa. Like, Well, and then yeah, you do have the 10-2, which is probably why we're sticking at that pace we are. But 4-0 against the Capitals back in October. No, I
Yeah,
guess.
hang on, let me see.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I think. But as I'm looking back in October, it's not too. Like 3-0 loss, 2-1 loss, 6-3 loss, 4-2 loss. Oh no, I guess those are up there
Okay,
preseason. Never
so
mind.
we've been averaging 2.87 according to MoneyPuck.com, 2.87 goals per 60. So not counting overtime. I don't know if there's a goals per game on here or not, but so 2.87, that's fifth in the league. So in that area, scoring, I mean, yeah, you're right. When we lose close. And when we win, you know,
except for a
sometimes
couple,
it's like,
but yeah,
usually in general, it's pretty close. They're like 4-2, 3-2, 4-3 type of games. There's a handful that aren't
yeah,
that way, but in general, we're scoring 2 to 3 games a night or 2 to 3 goals a night, which
unless we're playing,
I mean,
Tempe.
Well, yeah. Andrei Vasilevskiy's back, so that helps.
But we
too.
Lit him up. Well, no, we didn't light him
no,
up.
No, we
We
didn't
got
light
three
him
goals
up. We
on him.
scored 3 goals and then Jari. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't
Hey,
know. I don't know.
we'll
That's
see.
Just I. We'll see. We'll see. I hope for the best. I expect the worst. So.
Yeah, valid.
I don't,
All right,
I don't
now
know.
let's take a moment and hear from DraftKings Sportsbook. Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook is my go-to for sports betting, but especially some of the lines you get in the NHL. Download the app now and use the code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available. For problem gambling, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023. All rights reserved. Alrighty. Welcome back to the podcast. We have 2 weeks of predictions to catch you up on, and then we will be predicting our next slate of games. Abby's got the recap for you guys. So Abby, go ahead.
Oh, do I have the recap? I don't. Well, hang on.
Well, I got the recap then.
No, let me pull it up here. I do have it. All right. So the last 2 weeks we predicted November 17th through November 28th. And then the week after that we skipped because we didn't record and we were all over the place last week. So we didn't do any predictions last week. So we have 2 weeks of predictions. Week 7, hang on. Abby got 2 points. Andrew got 3 points. Jim got 2 points. So the scores at the end of week 2 were 20 for me, 18 for Andrew, 20 for Jim. Week 8, Abby got 3 points. Andrew got 2. Jim got 2. So Jim went 2 for 5. Andrew went 2 for 5 and I went 3 for 5. No one got any correct scores at all because we stink at that part of the predictions, but that means I now lead with 23 points, Jim with 22, and Andrew with 20. So there we go.
I'm close.
Not,
I'm gaining.
You're gaining. Yeah. Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did not do so
fell off
hot.
A bit, but it's okay.
Well,
it
we all
to
have
the
our
best
down, We all have our down weeks. Also, I just want to say this. I was researching for an article last week, and I discovered moneypuck.com. I always knew it existed, but I never realized how many like freakishly specific stats you can find out on there. So for all of you who like the analytical side of hockey, go check out moneypuck.com, because it's actually like so fun to just input random players and just like see how well they do 5-on-5 per 60 or whatever. If they're like a fourth line guy, like you could, oh my gosh, he's actually a really good player. If he played 60 minutes a night, he'd be like insane. Anyways, yeah, I just think it's hilarious.
Guys can't play 60 minutes a night.
I know they can't, but anyways, it's just a very fun website, and like you can get so specific with certain things. It's just wild. Certain line combinations, whatever, see how they're, you know, stats are and whatever. So anyways, on to predictions. This week we've got five games.
Okay.
Always five games. You can go. You can say it if you would like.
No, it's fine. I'll let you.
Okay.
I don't care.
The first
just go.
First game this week. Gosh. You're being so obnoxious. Fat Lord. Anyways, Saturday, December 9th, Vegas at Dallas. I start predictions this week. Since Jim's not here, he sent Andrew his predictions. So Andrew will let us know what Jim's are. And then Andrew will give us his predictions. I'm going to say, I don't know. Dallas has been weird this year. They've been kind of falling off a little bit. But I am going to say Dallas by a score of 4-2.
All right. And then let me pull it up here.
What did Jim, Big Daddy say?
Jim has Vegas by a score of 5-3.
Ain't no way Otter lets in 4. Ain't no way. Actually, so. Otter's been, last game Otter played, he played like garbage. So
yeah, they played Otter Florida, actually. Put up 5.
Huh?
He might put up 5. They may be up like 5-1. Dallas comes back and tries
to
come back. And
they might. He got 5 scored on him on against Florida on Wednesday. So I'm not going to say anything.
It might happen. You never know.
Depressing, except for the fact that I have Carter Verhaeghe on one of my fantasy teams and then Alexander Barkov on the other one. So it was fine. Continue.
I have Dallas 4-3 in overtime.
Very nice. All right. Next game, same day, Saturday the 9th, Ottawa at Detroit. This is like the third time we've predicted this matchup.
Hey.
Because we predicted both Sweden games.
It's true. You're correct. We did. Hey, so, I don't pick the games, man. I don't pick the games. I just predict them.
I'm going to say Detroit because Ottawa's kind of a joke right now. They just, every year, they're like, oh, the Sens are going to be so good this year. They're just always the same. It's kind of sad. I feel bad, but Detroit's going to win 3-1.
Yeah, Jim thinks Detroit is also going to win by a score of 3-1.
No way. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And I say Detroit's going to win by a score of 7-2. So,
holy snot.
Yeah. I think Detroit has firepower, especially with Patty Kane.
Patty Kane debuted for them last night. Did he score? I don't know. Let me check really quick.
They lost to the Sharks.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I did see that. They scored 4, and then San Jose scored 4 unanswered. I think.
Yeah, it was pretty.
Or maybe San Jose scored 3 unanswered. Yeah, that was a nutty game. High scoring for sure. What was the final, though?
6-5 in OT. 6-5 OT.
Sheesh. Hang on. I want to see if, did Patrick Kane get any?
Patrick Kane got a dash one. Had 16:33 of ice time.
Dude, no. Yeah, he didn't get a single point on 5 goals. He didn't.
He got 3 shots.
In on any of them.
Neither did DeBrincat.
DeBrinkitten.
More like.
And there was no
kitty.
Scoring in the first period. No scoring in the first period.
Okay, but elite offensive defenseman Jeff Petrie had a +3.
Oh, what a dude.
Putting up no points.
That's not a dude. 3. That's a man. Yeah, that's great. Lucas Raymond scored a goal and got an apple. So.
Yeah,
love
Billy
that guy.
Billy Husso.
Yeah. Not a great look for Billy. But
no.
I mean,
he only gave up
6 goals on 36 shots.
Oh, they gave up 2 shorthanded goals.
Uh-huh. 2 shorthanded goals on the same power play.
Oh, that's pathetic.
Yeah.
That is
I did
awful.
see that. But Jan Bruda got 2 points. On both of, he got a point on both
Penn's
of those shorthanded
legend,
goals.
Jan Bruda.
Yeah, Penn's legend, Jan Bruda. And Mikhail Granlund. Penn's
well,
legend.
That's how you let him get back into it. You're up 4-0.
Granlund scored the overtime winner. He got 3 points last night. That's insane. And Tomas Hertl scored.
Mikhail Granlund.
And Nico Sturm scored 2 goals. Man, this is crazy. I'm kind of a Sharks fan.
I don't
I'm not
like
a Sharks
to see
fan,
any team
but
doing
I,
that bad.
I want to see them do better. Anyways, succeed. Moving on. December 12th, which is a Tuesday, I believe. Let me make sure. December 12th is a... Wait.
Tuesday, yes. You're
yeah.
correct.
No, it's a Monday.
No, it's a Tuesday.
No, yeah, it is a Tuesday.
The 10th is a Sunday.
For some reason, my calendar jumped to February. February 12th is a Monday. That is awkward. Anyways, Toronto at the Rangers. Ugh, I don't like either of these teams. I don't want to see either team succeed, but I am going to say the Rangers for the pure fact that Toronto lost Joseph Woll the other night. Don't know if he's out for long term yet. I mean, I could look it up, but I'm not. Well, maybe I will. But anyways, I'm going to say the Rangers are going to win by a score 4-1.
Jim has the Rangers winning by a score of 1-0, and Andrew has the Rangers winning by a score of 4-2.
Nice.
Thanks.
Okay, let me look up the Joseph Woll injury really quick.
This is just us as a podcast collectively dumping on the Leafs. But guys, every year it's the same thing. Every year it's the same thing, and every year you just you don't step up in big moments. You are the Dallas Cowboys. You beat up on bad teams and everyone thinks, oh, it's our year, it's our year. And then when you play an actual competition, you poop the bed. That's what you do. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't apologize for being right.
They're saying he's going to miss some time. Martin Jones got recalled. Yeah, from the Marlies. Jones got recalled.
That makes sense.
So, yeah. They're not concerned. The Leafs aren't. They believe in Martin Jones, which is fair. Like, I would with Samsonov
would not.
And Jones. With Samsonov and Jones, but, however, their defense is kind of sucky. So, you know,
I mean,
I think they could beat
Giordano.
The Rangers, actually. Yeah.
You think the Leafs could beat the Rangers?
I mean, I think it won't be as big of a blowout as I'm thinking that it will be.
And probably not, but that's why I did 4-2.
Yeah, I did 4-1, which, I mean, I guess if you're down, like, I don't know, 2-1.
And they get a couple empty netters. Yeah,
yeah,
it could happen.
It's fine. Anyhow, Philly Nashville,
Nash.
Tuesday again. I'm going to say Philly wins this game because I don't like either of these teams either. I'm going to say Philly wins this game.
Wow.
UC Saros has been butt this year also, just so you know.
Yes, everything.
Philly's
going to... I follow
welcome.
The team.
I know, I'm just reminding you. Like, his stats are actually terrible. Philly's going to win by a score of 4-3 in overtime.
4-3 in overtime. Jim has Philly winning 4-3 in overtime.
No cap, really?
I'm not, no. I'm dead serious. I'm reading the text verbatim.
That's ridiculous.
It's
you're gonna say Nashville, right?
I am gonna say Nashville. Ride or die, boys. Right? I don't. You look back.
You're ridiculous.
I was just gonna say.
I think you've only gotten
Nashville. And,
you've never voted against
Nashville,
and you've only gotten it right one time.
No, that's a lie. I have. I picked Anaheim to beat Nashville, I believe. Anaheim
oh, but Nashville
lost.
Won that game. Yeah.
Yeah. And every other game that Nashville has played that we predicted, I have predicted Nashville. And they've won a couple times. They won last week time I picked them. The Chicago game.
Fair.
But I'm going to say Nashville by a score of 3-1. That one is – that. This is a game that Nashville, as stepping back from my Nashville fandom.
Bias.
My Nashville bias. This is a game that Nashville could have.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying – that's why I said an OT victory, because I don't think it's going to be – like a huge, you know, blowout.
Yeah.
But I do think
Philadelphia right now playing above where they should be playing. they don't know they're bad yet. They don't know they're bad yet. That's the thing.
And
Carter
neither
Hart has
did
been playing
neither did
amazing.
neither did Florida last year, but it took them all the way to the Cup final. You know what I mean?
Florida was riding a resurgent Bobrovsky.
Yeah, that is true.
Are you saying?
But Philadelphia has Samuel Eriksson, the best rookie goalie in the league right now, with Joseph.
They
Lola.
Also have Kata Hap. Do you think
Kata
Carter Hart is a resurgent Bobrovsky?
No, I think Samuel Eriksson is good enough to win them games.
No, he's not.
Make the playoffs,
not
but I'm saying
Nashville.
Not to win in the playoffs. I think they might make the playoffs.
Not against Nashville.
You never know. Okay, final game, December 13th, Wednesday night hockey. That's another thing. NHL Network takes all of these games, and there have been, it feels like, just so many games that I want to watch the past couple weeks. I've been on NHL Network, and I can't watch them. And I'm like...
Talk to me. I'll get you hooked up.
Okay.
I'll get you hooked up. I don't know how,
it's gonna
but I'll
be
get you
huge. Okay. But anyways, I just don't like NHL Network. It bugs me. Anyways.
No, NHL Network needs to be on YouTube TV, plain and simple.
Literally, like on the base plan. Because I think you can get it, but you have to pay like
$30
more.
It's not available on YouTube TV.
It's not?
No.
It used to be.
No, it didn't. It was on
Never?
Fubo. No.
Oh. It's been on Sling, too.
It's on common cable, but not YouTube TV. I don't know why.
That's idiotic.
It's stupid.
Maybe NHL Network just has a thing against YouTube and Google. Who owns Google?
Google.
Who's
Little
the guy
Google.
That owns? I don't know.
Who does own Google?
I don't know. I don't think it's probably a household name like Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg or what's the name of the one
Alphabet
guy that owns?
Incorporated.
Jeff Bezos. Who?
Alphabet Incorporated owns Google.
Alphabet or Alphabet?
Alphabet, as in like.
Okay, because you said
A, B,
it's like
C, D, E, F, G.
Like it. Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was spelled weird because you said it like with an E sound. Anyways, final game of the week, Wednesday night hockey. Not actually sure if it's on NHL Network or what.
It
I
is
was
on
just
NHL
that,
Network.
Because it's is it? Fudge.
Yep.
Pittsburgh in Montreal. I think Pittsburgh's going to win this game. They have to win this game.
If they want to make the playoffs, they have to win this game.
Well, if they want to make the playoffs, they just have to win. I don't care what game it is. Just you have to win consistently, period.
Let's start tonight in Sunrise.
Yeah. Pittsburgh's going to win this game by a score 3-0.
Jim says
Alex
Pittsburgh's going to win this game.
Shut up.
Jim says Alex is going to win this game. Pittsburgh's going to win this game by a score of 3-1.
Man,
you
me
like
and him
that?
Have the
How
same
I...
brain. Yeah, I thought you were going to say 0.
I'm going to say Pittsburgh wins this game by a score of Montreal 1, Pittsburgh 6.
Jeepers, creepers. Okay.
Ricard Raquel coming back from injury with
a
hat
trick. Dude, I wish. Let's go. All right. Recap of our predictions for the week. First game, December 9th, Vegas at Dallas. Abby and Andrew both said Dallas. Abby with a score of 4-2. Andrew with a score of 4-3 in overtime. Jim said Vegas 5-3. December 9th, again, Ottawa at Detroit. Everyone said Ottawa. Jim and Abby both with a score of 3-1. And Andrew with a score of 7-2. December 12th, Toronto at New York Rangers. The Rangers were the consensus across the board. Abby with a score of 4-1. Jim with a score of 1-0. And Andrew with a score of 4-2. Philadelphia at Nashville the same night, Tuesday, December 12th. Jim and Abby both said Philly 4-3 in overtime. Andrew said Nashville 3-1. And finally, Wednesday, December 13th, Pittsburgh at Montreal. Pittsburgh's across the board. Abby with a score of 3-0. Jim with a score of 3-1. And Andrew with a score of 6-1. And we'll see who comes out victorious at the end of the week.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm smelling that. And that smells like that's his 5-0 week right there.
I think I disagree with you, but if it's a 5-0 week for you, then it's a 4-0 week for me, I think. So yeah. So I'll take it.
Is that right?
Yeah, because the only one I picked different was Philly. And then dad picked Vegas different from us. So then it would be. Oh, dad picked Vegas and Philly different from you. Yeah. But Vegas. Yeah. Anyway. But yeah. So
you know
that
what?
Would
I'm
be
okay.
Great. That would be great if it was a 5-0 week for you, 4-0 week for me, and then it would be, or a 4-1 week for me, and then a 3-2 week for dad, and you'd be tied with dad.
Boom. That's where we're going, boys.
So
moving
let's
on
make
up,
it happen.
Like the old movies, the old show
let's
says, moving on up.
Moving on up.
All right.
One last thing I would like to say.
Go.
The internet was broken by the game, the Vancouver New Jersey game the other night.
Oh, that's right. You wanted to bring this up.
Yeah. I think the Hughes brothers are like the next era of NHL hockey. And I'm very here for it. Cause I saw a video and it was like Quinn Hughes is in Norris. He's gonna end the season top three Norris voting, if not Norris winner. Jack Hughes at the end of the season, he's gonna be top three Hart, if not, you know, winning the Hart. And Luke Hughes is going to be top three Calder voting, if not winning the Calder. Probably not winning the Calder with Bedard, but you never know. And so, like, this is talent that we haven't never seen from siblings in the NHL ever. And I'm just really here for it because I love the idea of, like, sibling rivalry, but also, like, sibling camaraderie and, like, building, like, families just supporting each other. And I think it's awesome to see that, like, and to see the NHL supporting that. Which obviously they're doing it because they can make money off of it. But also it's just like, it's really cool. I love family dynamics and to get to see that on the ice and then like in interviews and things. I just love it. So I hope the NHL keeps doing more of that. It's awesome.
Yeah. I wish the people who come out of like this stuff, like if they had more personality, because the Hughes brothers are so boring.
Yeah.
Like, I wish Zegras had a couple brothers in the NHL because that would be exciting. You know, because he's got so much more personality. The Hughes are just so vanilla.
That's fair. I think hockey
They're
players
like,
in general can be kind of boring in interviews and stuff because, like, certain aspects of their personalities probably or, like, things that they enjoy doing aren't necessarily appropriate to broadcast on television either. So,
yeah. But, I mean, you just look at the NFL players. And they've got personality while also being
right.
Most of them.
I don't know though.
Proper boys, if that makes sense.
You know, that's fair. That's fair. I think though, just the culture in the NHL. I think the Hughes boys have a lot of personality. I think the culture of the NHL just doesn't support that, which is frustrating.
What, personality?
Like people being themselves.
Individualism. Yeah.
Right. They're like, it's a team sport, which is great because it is. And support each other, awesome. Like, support causes, awesome. But, like, every player in the NHL, pretty much ever, there have been a few, but, like, Leon Draisaitl, he's his own person. Like, but everyone else in, like, interviews and stuff, they're just so 2D. It's the same responses every time.
Get pucks deep.
Yeah, like, great setup from Smitty there. And I was like, it's ridiculous. But I think... I don't know what needs to change. Maybe get a new commissioner that hasn't been there for 85 years. To like bring the NHL into a new era of like allowing players to be who they are and like to like bring their personality. And because I mean, what makes a football player so much more interesting? I think they're just more comfortable. You know what I mean? You watch these videos of NFL players and they're just so chill. They're doing what they love and they're having a great time. And like NHL players, when they're on the ice, they're just like that. That's why everyone loves the mic'd up because you can see their personalities. But when they're in interviews,
that's true.
Stone face.
That's true.
Stone face. And I think it's just the media makes people uncomfortable. And
Emily Kaplan makes people uncomfortable.
The culture, it just makes people like not want to be themselves. But you know these guys have great personalities because you saw that video of Johnny Gaudreau at what's-his-name's wedding.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Matthew Kachuk's wedding.
Was it
Matthew
Kachuk? It probably was Matthew.
I don't remember whose wedding it was. But He was like getting down on the floor, and Mitch Marner, he was dancing, or no, Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron, they were going hard on the dance floor. But like, you don't see that in interviews because guys aren't comfortable enough to be themselves in this league. And I think that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. It's true. So with that being said, because think about it, when the Hughes brothers retire, we could have like the man, like we were talking about the Manning cast, but with the Hughes brothers.
That would be so funny. Oh, dude. Cause I think they're so much more interesting than their interviews make them out to be. Like, as people, and Jack, I feel like is one of, like, he's more outgoing than the other two because he seems to be a little more comfortable in interviews and stuff.
Well, I think he's been doing it more because he was a first round draft pick for like the first, like they were like, he's the next big thing. The 2 years before his draft, so he had to get used to the media and everything.
Right.
Where Quinn Hughes was what, a seventh pick in the draft?
No, he was second. He was second.
No, he was seventh. Quinn Hughes was seventh, I think.
I could have sworn he was second overall.
Because no, Vancouver was really good in the mid two, like not really good, but they were better than getting a second overall pick after Elias Pettersson got.
Hang on.
Got drafted. Quinn Hughes. Seventh overall by the Canucks in 2018.
No way. Really?
Yep.
I could have sworn he was second. That's weird. Okay.
Yeah. And then Luke Hughes was fourth overall, I believe, by the Devils.
Yeah. Luke was fourth because that was just this past year or the year before. I don't remember. Yeah. It was very recent. It wasn't last year. It was 2 years ago, 2022. But anyway.
Hey, yeah. He's your age.
Is he really 2003, baby?
Yep. 03, 20 baby. Years old.
Let's go.
And Jack is a 01 baby.
01 baby, just like you.
Just like me. And then Quinn just is like 99. You. So
loser. Old man. Yeah, not 24. Old. My gosh.
Ugh. Ugh.
So old.
Anyway.
Anyways, that's our opinion. Get a new commissioner, NHL.
We've been petitioning that for the last 3 years.
Someone should really just start a petition and like walk around Toronto. Hey, you want to sign my petition to get a new
commissioner? Batman out of there?
Like Gary Batman, he's been fine, but he's just been there for too long. And I think they just need a new voice. And did you see what that whole ridiculous stuff that they did with Marc-Andre Fleury about his Native American heritage mask? Because his wife has Native American heritage. He had a mask custom made. And the NHL said, you can't wear that. You can't even wear it in practice. You can't even wear it in warmups or we'll fine you and the Wild. And he did it anyways. And I don't think he got fined for it. But the NHL just needs to, like, stop.
Wait, why couldn't he? Because of...
I have no idea.
Is it because they're pushing down on the causes initiative? Like,
I have no idea. Which I think is
pride
so...
tape, no.
I think it's so dumb. But I saw a video the other day, and it said... There should be a charity cause night for every team in the NHL where each individual player chooses a cause, a charity, whatever, to wear a warm-up jersey for, tape, whatever. Like, if you're Jewish heritage and you want to wear, you know, the Star of David tape, or if you're, like, for pride, or if you're a Christian, or if you're whatever, if you're fighting cancer, whatever these causes are, you wear your jersey, you wear like your tape, your gear, whatever, during warmups.
Better idea.
I just think that's such a good
idea. Make it a month. The NFL or a month. This month is their, it's my cleats, my cause. And they get specially designed cleats. They can wear them every game for the next month. And it's raising awareness. Like, DeAndre Hopkins, he has his mom has a charity for fighting against domestic violence because she lost her eyesight due to a domestic violence incident, and he's wearing cleats that have that charity on them. And it's like,
and
the NFL knows how to do things. That's why they're the best league in America.
Yeah, that's why they're
North America,
a several hundred million dollar organization.
Is it billions
now? It used to
it's
be
billions.
Million.
Yeah.
Jacob Slavin, no one's going to hear about this, but Jacob Slavin on Instagram, he's been supporting, human trafficking. He's been raising money to support this charity that gets kids and women out
that
of human trafficking.
Human trafficking.
Yes. And that's his cause, and he's just had to campaign on social media for it. But like, imagine if you had a night or a month where you could wear, you could have the stick tape, wear the jerseys, put it on your helmet, whatever. You know, I just, the NHL has so many opportunities to do good things. They just aren't doing it. Oh, it's so frustrating.
We need to wrap this up.
We
do. Thank you guys.
Love
you
all.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you want more from us, you can follow us on the socials in the show description. Make sure you subscribe to the feed on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify. Everywhere that podcasts are available. Special thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook for supporting the podcast. And what?
And the Hockey Podcast Network.
And the Hockey Podcast Network for distributing the podcast. We appreciate everyone who takes the time to listen. Please, if you are still here, we appreciate you listening this far. Please make sure you rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can also rate us on Spotify now, because it helps us get out there into the algorithm. Again, use code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook to get free bonus bets. And until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Abby.
Let's go Pens.
Let's go Pens. Whoop, 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 whoop.